Who won? Who won the game just now? Eh? South Africa. South Africa. Oh, all our South Africans will be happy next week when they're back from the camping. Yeah. See how happy they are. Father, we just thank you that you're in this place. Pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us. Pray you challenge us, that you deepen just our understanding with you and knowing your voice a little bit better. God, we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen, amen. Welcome. Everyone good? Yeah? Not good? Who had a good week? A few. Who had a bad week? Yeah, a couple bad weeks, a few bad weeks. Who had a half week? Everyone is there, always has a half week. I pray that this week you'll have a good week. Let's just prophesy that ahead of us, that we'll have a good week this week, that whatever struggles that we face this week, that God will turn the mourning into our dancing, he'll turn our sorrow into joy, that he'll do something incredible, not only within us, but around us, that our faith level will rise with him. And today, we're going to be going through this new series called Faith. We just came from, I didn't call it a series, but we just came from talking on discipleship. Who understood more about discipleship? Yeah, got more of an understanding of discipleship. If you haven't, I encourage you to go on Spotify, go on Apple Podcasts, go on our Hills website, hillsnz.com, to listen to those sermons, because we've all called to be disciples. When God says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, he's calling his people to do it. Not a person, not a pastor, not a title, but he's calling his people who call him by name, Yahweh. He's calling you. And so it's important for us to understand what discipleship means, the cost of discipleship, and how we walk out to be disciples every day. Because how many of you know it's hard to be a disciple? Okay, it's only me. Okay, it's hard to be a disciple of Christ. In the world that we live in, everything comes against it, but the Holy Spirit is within us to equip us, to comfort us, to guide us into all situations, so that no matter what we face, Holy Spirit's there. And so when I'm going over this week, I was like, God, what do you want to do next? And I felt God really persuade me, because he had to persuade me, because sometimes we say no. Anyone say no? Anyone say no to God? Like, sometimes you say no to God. And sometimes, even though God doesn't have to, he loves us so much that he comes to me at my room or into my moment and persuades me to go, Jordan, go this way. And even though I'm saying, no, I don't want to go that way, he's like, go this way. And so we're going to kick off our faith series today. I don't know how long it's going to go, but I believe that God's going to do something in us. I posted up online on our Facebook page and on my Facebook page as well about the series, that I truly believe God's going to do something miraculous within the series. Are you guys all right? I don't know what Sunday is going to happen, but I believe there's going to be an up-and-coming Miracle Sunday. A Miracle Sunday where the sick is going to get healed. We're going to make it like a big moment somewhere in the series. I truly feel that God's moving us to a place of just believing that people are going to be healed instantly. There's not going to be like a begging, there's not going to be an asking, but it's going to be a moment like the men who drew down their friend before Jesus and said, by their faith, he is made well. There's going to be that moment. Are you with me? And so God's been really challenging me about faith and how much I trust him and believe him. And so I truly believe that this series is something from God that is going to equip us for the next season that we're about to go into. There will be going to be some people in here that's listening to me right now, and you may have an understanding on faith, right? There's people in here that have been serving the Lord before my time. Yep. And that's okay, but can I ask us to just to go into Holy Spirit and go, God, I may know stuff about faith, but I pray that you speak to me in this moment. And if you don't know what faith is, that's okay. Great, the series is going to be amazing. But for those who know what faith is and have been walking with the Lord for a while, can I encourage us just to go, God, show me a new way. Because how many know that we can read one scripture and God can keep refilling us and renewing us every time we read that scripture? Why? Because the Bible is living, it's active, it's always changing. Not the word doesn't change, but our understanding of it changes. And so what I want to do is I want to open up with this verse. I truly believe that this verse is a verse that we all need to understand and have conviction of. And it's the first truth that I'm going to be bringing this morning is that in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's the first truth I want us to understand about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. Many people are trying to please God with their works, trying to please God to come into service, please God to read their Bible, please God to pray, please God to worship. Even those things are part of it. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. In fact, without faith, we are unable to approach the Lord and have a relationship with him on a personal level. That's why people know of God but don't know God, because they have no faith. The Christian life is based on faith from the start of the journey where you say, yes, Lord, all the way to the end when God welcomes you home. Can I say that again? The Christian life is based on faith. So which means our life must be pleasing to God. And how do we please God? With faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because it's from the start of the journey saying, God, I accept you. I'm a sinner. Woe is me. To the place of Lord, I can't wait to come into your presence. Welcome me. Who wants to please God here? We want to please God? If we want to please God, then we first need to understand what faith is. Because faith is what pleases God. The word faith, I don't know if I put it up there, hopefully. The word faith means this. Is it up there? No, it's not up there, eh? Faith means complete belief and trust in God. Can I say that again? Faith means complete belief and trust in God. Now let's listen to this in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, complete trust and belief in God, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Who's heard the scripture? Anyone in here? Yeah? So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so now we understand faith is complete belief and trust in God. Now faith, having complete belief and trust in God, is the substance. What does substance mean? I've got it up here. It means hypostasis. That one. Now faith is the substance. Faith is the placing under or the firm foundation of things hoped for. I gave my wife, I quickly did a diagram for my wife to put up for us today. Can you put the first one up? Faith is the substance. You see that? What does that look like to you? Kind of like a foundation? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Can we go to number two? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Can you see the picture? As believers, our faith is the foundation to what we hope for, even though we cannot see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Because as believers, our faith is the foundation of things hoped for. What's an example? Currently, my nephew's in hospital, and his heart rate's bad, and we're believing for a miracle for our nephew, right? We're believing in a miracle. Though we cannot see it, I have complete trust and confidence that God will come through. Right? Whatever you've been praying for, whatever you have been having faith for, hoping for, it's about having this assurance that God's going to come through. I have complete trust. I have complete confidence. But can we go to number three? Slide three on mine. When we remove faith as the foundation for what we hope for, it becomes wishful thinking. Because hope without faith
is this wishful thinking.
When we have no faith, we're only wishing that God will do something. But God hasn't called us to be believers of wishful thinking. Oh Lord, I pray that my nephew will be healed. If I have no faith, it's just wishful thinking. I don't know what you're going through. You may be having faith for something in particular. If you have no faith, if there's no foundation to what you're hoping for, it's wishful thinking. What happens when you don't have foundation of the house? The house what? Falls over. What happens when God, when Jesus talked about there's two houses, and he says one's on sand, one's on rock, whatever storm hit the house with that was on the foundation of rock, it stood. But everything that was built on sand fell over. When we have hope without faith, everything you're hoping for will fall over because there's no foundation. Are we okay? Because hope without faith is wishful thinking. In church, we are not wishful thinkers. We're faith believers. There is a knowing to our faith. You know how I say, I've heard this comment before. I don't know if it was within a church. I know it was with a Christian, but I don't know whether it was a church. Oh man, sometimes faith is blind. Have you heard of that? Have you heard that saying, faith is blind? When I actually thought about it, I was like, how can faith be blind when we have the Word of God? The Word of God is truth. I have faith that God can heal because my Bible tells me He can heal. And so because my foundation and my faith is not wishful thinking, but it's founded in Christ and it's in His Word. Are we okay? So there is a knowing to our faith. It's not blind. It's founded in Christ. It is written in the Word of God. And I want to touch on this real quick because it's only like a real simple difference. But though faith means to believe in someone or something or have complete trust in God, there's a slight difference between faith and belief. Very slight, like they kind of like when I was researching faith, the word belief came up a lot, and it interchanges between faith. So when you use belief, faith comes up as well. But there's a slight difference, a 1 degree difference between faith and belief. And I put it like this. You can have belief intellectually, but biblical faith is complete trust and confidence in God, which is outworked. Many people have belief in God intellectually, but don't have complete trust where they outwork that faith that they have. And why is that important to outwork faith? Because James 2:17 says this, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And other translation says faith without works is dead. So when you only have faith and no action, it's useless. When you can go, I believe in God, but if there's no action to your belief in God, it's useless. It's dead. It's static. It's infertile. But when you have faith in action, it's alive. It's active. It's growing. I put it like this. Works are not a cause of salvation. Works are not the cause of salvation. Works are the evidence of salvation. Can I repeat that again? Works are not the cause of salvation, but works are the evidence of salvation. So that's why God says faith without works is dead. It's not because work saves us, but we are saved to do the work. Are we okay? Today I'm not going to be long. Like literally, I'm not going to be long. This is just to build the faith and for us to understand what faith is, what faith we see, so that the next sermons that are going to come out, it's going to rise our faith to believe for things that are impossible. But we first need to understand, without faith, we can't please God. If faith is a substance of things hoped for, that means what we're hoping for must be founded on faith. But then not only that, faith must be worked out. We can't just have a belief in God that God's going to do something, but we have to work it out, because it's not enough just to believe God. Do you know who else believes God? In James 2:19. That's so funny, this verse. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. Can I say that again? You believe that there is one God. You do well. That's cool. You believe there's one God. It's cool that you believe in God. But even demons believe. We have a lot of Christians on the faith of demons. Oh, Jordan, you're mean. I'm being honest. We have people within the church on the same level of faith as demons. They just believe. But the difference between demons and with us is that we don't tremble. We think we know better. We don't see God as something holy and something that we can't touch. Something that is woe is me, like with Isaiah, like I can't be in your presence because you're so holy. But God just touches his lips anyway. Why? Because to sanctify him. He trembled before God. He was in fear of God, not because he was scared, but because he understood that God is so set apart that I'm worthless. I don't know about where your faith is today, but you can't just believe because even demons believe. There must be actions to our faith. I'm about to ask the team to bring an exercise out to finish my sermon, but I want to put some practicality in this. So, what does that when we talk about faith today? What does that look like for us as Hills NZ, like as a body, as Hills? Currently, for Hills NZ, we're in the middle of a building. Everyone know that? We're in the middle of a building. And we are believing for the completion of our build to be debt-free. Right? So we're having faith. We're having faith that God's going to build that building with debt-free. God's already pulled through to pay for the structural work, which was 300 grand. He's already pulled through. No money borrowed. It's paid for in full. Now we're going to believe for the roofing, which is another 200,000. Then we're going to believe for the rest of it, which is another 800,000, whatever it may be, right? We got this belief, we got this faith, God's going to pull through. But what actions has Hills NZ taken with that faith? Because we can't be like a church that goes, oh, we believe, pray, and there's no action. Right? And so a month ago, I'm going to tell you a story because we can now. A month ago, I had a moment with God in my house. And God says to me, Jordan, I need you to sow into two churches. I was like, nope, I'm not sowing into two churches. Because our building account's not like great. But the funding in our building account is not enough to build anything, to be honest. But he goes to me, Jordan, I want you to sow into two churches who are building and renovating right now. And I was like, no way. And I told my wife, I was like, this is what I feel like God's telling me. And my wife's like, oh, yeah. But I was like, I'm not going to do it. They're stupid. They're silly. Literally a month later, which was a few weeks ago, we had a privilege to go to a conference here in Wellington. And you know what? All they spoke about was faith. Without being the theme of faith, for some reason, everything that just came out of their mouth just confirmed things for me. And then God spoke to me again at conference. Jordan, I told you a month ago to sow into two churches and believe by faith that I want to do your building. And I'm like, I just don't want to. I absolutely don't want to. And then I was like, okay, you know what, God? I want to put action to my faith. So I like emailed the board. Our emailed them. And it was cool because Pastor Darren was at the conference with me. So he understood where I was at because I was talking to him the whole time. But then we had Dave, right? Because Dave's the other board member. And Dave didn't get back to us 2 weeks later, eh, Dave? Which was this week. Literally this week, 2 weeks later, after the conference, after I sent the thing, 2 weeks later. And Dave was honest. He's like, at first, I was thinking no. But you know what happened to Dave? Literally 2 days later, God spoke to him, showed him a picture. I said to God no a month ago. Then God showed me again, do it. I was like, that's silly, that's stupid. Okay, I want to put it out. And then again, we got another no. But then God stepped into that no and changed it to a yes. So we as a church, even though we have faith for our building to be debt-free, we as a church sold $5,000 to two different churches, one here in Wainui and one here in Lower Hutt. One's doing a roof reno, one wants to do a completion of the whole church, right? That $5,000 to both churches, I'm not going to build the whole building, but for some reason, all I had was $5,000 sown to those two churches. Okay, cool. God, I believe that you're going to bring a miracle, that you're going to bring a hundredfold, not only to the churches that are being blessed, but I believe that by faith we're taking action. We're sowing a seed into his kingdom, not into a church. And so we sowed it into a kingdom. Did it pay for the build? No. But it was a seed sowing, and I believe that was a faith step for us as a church to believe for a miracle for our church. We had to believe a miracle for another two churches. What actions did I take? Because I can't just believe for the church to take action, right? You can't just believe for the pastor to take action, right? You got to take action, right? So for me personally, this is not to boast. This is not anything. But this is to be transparent between you and I. As your pastor, I'm being transparent. I'm not telling you the amount, but I'm telling you what I've done. For my wife and I, when God spoke to us about sowing into two churches, God also spoke to me personally, and He said to me, "Jordan, I want you to double your tithe and sow it into the building." To be honest, me and my wife can't afford that. To double our tithe to sow it back into the building, my wife and I can't afford that. Like. Mortgage, everyone knows who owns a house. Mortgages are crazy, and everything is crazy. Everything is crazy. Everything costs a lot. But God tells me, He goes, "Jordan, if you're going to sow into these two churches that I've told you to, double your tithe and sow it into the building." And I was like, no. But we did. We started. It wasn't the amount that God was concerned with, but He was concerned with, "Do you trust me completely to build your church?" When I say your church, I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about His church. What God was pointing out to us, especially for my wife and I just did it. I didn't even tell my wife. I just did it. I only told her literally Wednesday. I doubled her tithe. "What? You didn't tell me?" I was like, I had to do it. Like, I had to be obedient to God. What God was pointing out to us was, how much do I trust Him? Put actions to what I'm believing for. God isn't pleased about the money we give. He's pleased with the faith that we have. People are like, "Oh, do I sow the 10%? Do I do this?" I was like, sow what God's telling you to sow. Because if I say 10% and you give begrudgingly, you're going to reap not the harvest that you should reap. But if you sow what God's telling you to sow, you'll reap a harvest that I can't even give. So we as a church are believing for a building. We took action. A crazy action. Even Dave said to me, "Jordan, you're crazy. You're crazy." I was like, "I'm crazy. Yes, I'm crazy." I thought my mom was crazy, but sometimes I just think I'm just more crazy. I feel like I should be in asylum sometimes. But I truly believe our faith has to have action. And we can't just sow into our building. We've got to sow into the kingdom. The kingdom. And so that's what we did as a church this week. We sowed into a kingdom. Two different churches from two different bodies, from two different denominations. We just sowed into it. Why? Because we're believing for a miracle for them. Right? And so then God challenged me, "Jordan, what are you going to do? What action are you going to take?" And then that's when He challenged me, "Jordan, tied double and put it into the building." And I'm like, "Damn, that's crazy." But you know what? I did it anyway. You know, with automatic payments, that's great because you don't see it. If I had to do it manually, I won't do it. This comes to the paper that I'm about to ask the guys to bring out. There's two papers that they're going to give you. One paper you're going to give back to me, the other paper you're going to keep. So the first paper they're going to give you, and it's the question is this: what do you have faith for over the next 12 months? I want you to put down and believe for the impossible to be possible. If it's a home, write down a home. Be specific in the home, because when you write it out and put it on this altar, I'm going to carry it everywhere I go in my Bible, and I'm going to be praying for it until God brings a breakthrough. So I want you to believe for the impossible. Are you guys all right? The second question is on a separate page. It's, what action will you take? So it's not enough just to believe for something. But what action are you going to take? Yeah, man, this is at school today. So there's one paper. That paper is what do you have faith for over the next 12 months? I'm going to take that and I want to pray over it every day until you get your breakthrough. And when you get your breakthrough, that's when I'm going to take it off and go, cool, done. The second page is what action will you take? That page you take home. That's to remind you, put it on your fridge and go, that's the action that I said to God that I'll take with my faith. So I want to take this moment and let you guys write down what do you have faith for over the next 12 months? And what actions will you take? Believe for the impossible. Believe for a family member that you've been praying for. God's going to raise our faith in this. Father, I thank you for every person, whatever they're believing for. I pray that you stretch our faith to believe for things that are impossible. They seem impossible in our current situation. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll open our eyes to believe for things that we thought was impossible. What do you believe for yourself for the next 12 months? What do you believe for your family for the next 12 months? What action will you take in that belief? Pray, Holy Spirit, make it clear to their hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Once you finish the first paper, you can come and bring it up and just fold it and put it on the altar, on this pulpit, as a sign of like, I believe this is going to happen. If you're believing for a home, write down a home. Be specific in that home. How many bedrooms do you want? What does it look like? If it's being debt-free, write down the amount you want to be debt-free from. Be specific. God loves us to be specific in our request towards Him. If it's for a loved one, for an incurable disease, believe for it. If it's for your marriage, believe for it. If it's for your children, believe for it. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Babe, do you want to play something? Let's play a song, a slow song. Oh, gratitude. Play gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm excited for the series. We're going to have the intercessors pray for you guys. We're going to believe for the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. Mahia kiana ramaso. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. When you're done with the first page, just bring it up. Lay it on the altar. There's a sign, sealed, delivered that you're believing for it. But I ask you always to write down the actions you're about to take for what you're believing for. It's going to cost you, but God's going to bring breakthrough. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And nothing is fit for a king. You don't have to put your name. God will know who is it. Praise you again and again. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for the increase of faith in the room to believe for the impossible. Thank you, God, that faith is what pleases you. I thank you, God, that you're going to do some miraculous things in people's lives. We receive it right now, even though we may not see it physically right now. We thank you that what we're hoping for is done. I think it's founded on your word. It's founded on your truth that is yes and amen. In Jesus' name. Faith to believe. Faith to believe. Faith to believe. If you've done the first part, that's great. I need you to do the second part, which is what actions will you take? Because faith without actions is dead works. And the reason why I'm getting you to do it now, it's just in case you don't do it later. Don't get shy of me. Lift up your soul. You got a lion inside of those lines. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now we have faith to believe for every written request right now. Father, it's not even about fastness or how quick it is, but I pray that in our trust in you and our actions towards you, Lord God, that you'll bring everything to pass in the name of Jesus, whether it be sickness, whether it be health, whether it be breakthrough in finances, whether it be in our own home ownership, whatever it may be, I believe in the name of Jesus in the next 12 months, these prayer requests and this faith to believe is going to happen. We have faith to believe. I pray that you increase the faith that's in us. I pray that our eyes be open to believe the impossible. This is not wishful thinking, Lord, but this is based on your truth, the truth that's in the word of God. And so, Father, we claim it. We stand upon your word. We stand upon your name, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, the provider of all what is written here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. I encourage you. You've written what you're believing for over the next 12 months. We're going to believe together. I'll make sure that I'll send this out to the intercessory team as well to pray into these. But we're going to believe for miracles to happen within your life. And it's not to elevate you or elevate who you are, but it's actually to bring him glory so that every person that's around you will see the glory of God upon you. Right? And as you, as God answers, if you've written one thing, if you've written 20 things, as God answers them, make sure you give him the glory. What my wife and I are going to do as well is that if there is a need that's been met that you've written in here, if you are willing enough, we would love to document it onto a video. And the reason we want to document it onto a video is so that people can see the works of God. Because if someone in your life knows that you're struggling through something and they know it's been impossible for you, and they see that you've got your breakthrough, they see that you received it, you know what that comes, you know what happens with them? Who are you serving? How did that happen? And all you can do is point to Jesus. And in that pointing to Jesus, you never know. They might come to salvation through that very thing that you've written down. I want to encourage you, if you haven't written anything for your actions, please write actions towards it, because our prayers alone are not going to be enough. And I'm not saying because prayer is not powerful. I'm just saying that faith without works, without us outworking what we're believing for, is useless. And so we've got to make sure that we're outworking it. And it doesn't mean that you have to do what I did, which is what I did. That's my personal conviction. Whatever God's convicting you to do, I encourage you to do it. If you don't know what you need to do, I pray that as you go into your alone time this week, that God will make it clear on what actions you need to take to believe for what you've written down. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Give God a hand.